Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Talk to your doctor about pregabalin today. Side effects may include nausea, muscle fatigue, blurred vision, live tweeting the Tonys, scrapbooking, erectile function, increased use of the word fierce, glory hole visitation, changes in appetite, increased interest in Project Runway, and seeking out gender reveal videos on Facebook. Do not attempt to watch the Fast and Furious movies while on pregabalin. Tell your doctor if you are adopting a child from a foreign country like the guys on Modern Family, or plan on adopting a child from a foreign country like the guys on Modern Family. Pregabalin can sometimes result in a rare condition known as Andy Cohen syndrome. Tell your doctor if you are using anal poppers, as you could already be gay, especially if he's a hot doctor, like Dr. McDreamy from Grey's Anatomy. Oh my God, it's happening to me. From Carolla One Studios in Glendale, California, this is the Adam Carolla Show. Adam's guest today, author of Hang Time, My Life in Basketball, Elgin Baylor. With Gina Grad on news and Bald Brian on sound effects. And now, here to interview a Lakers legend, a man whose middle name is Lakers, Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. No choice but to get a mandate. Get it on. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for spreading it around, man. We love that. Spread it around like magic used to spread it around back in the day. Or Elgin used to spread it around back in the day. Good day, Gina Grad.
Good day to you.
Handball Brian.
Meow.
Black Tux. I want to thank The Black Tux. Go to theblacktux.com/Adam for $20 off your purchase. And also stamps.com. Stamps.com. Enter Adam. Get your 4-week trial. Black Tux, those are guys I wore to. I wore them to. Jesus Christ.
Photo the shoot? Oscars?
I said a one-upper. I wore it to the Oscars, and then I got some information, asking for information, presumably for some sort of get your information to the Emmys so that maybe you could be nominated for an Emmy.
And I told, for writing on the Oscars.
For writing on the Oscars, and I told that to a woman today, and I didn't get to finish my sentence, and she yelled, "I got a Peabody!"
Wow.
That is a one-upper.
That is a bit of
being a one-upper.
That's right.
I was with my good friend Sharon, and I was talking to
Peabody.
I was talking to her about it. I said, "You're a writer," and she went, "No, I didn't even write on it." And I was like, "I said even worse." And then later on, I did my favorite thing in the world,
which is
I was pitching her a car racing show, and then I said,
"You complained, then napped."
She said, "You ever won anything?" And I said, "I won the Rolex Cup at the Red Shoe." That come with a watch? And I said, "No." So it was kind of 0-2.
Wow.
You won the Grand Prix twice.
Yeah, but didn't come with a watch.
Yeah.
All right. So speaking of racing, and then there's plenty of stuff to cover. When I was walking out from talking to Sharon Levy over there, at, wherever she is, I said, "I'm going to Road Atlanta the next weekend," and she said, "Where are you staying?" And I said, "This dude's house." And she said, "What?
Why?"
And I said, because he sent me a tweet, and he said that we could stay at his house. And she went, "Why?" And I said, "Because he's close to the track." And she went, "What are you doing?" And I said, "I'm staying close to the track because when you do these events,
$275 at the West End is way too much."
Yes, you got to go back and forth and back and forth through the track all the time, early mornings, things like that. Good to stay close to the track. And Road Atlanta is kind of out in the sticks.
Okay.
And they do have some hotels
out
there.
I have no idea how close any hotel is. I don't know anything about
it. You can get a hotel. They got them. Through traveling, I've realized that I much prefer sit with the boys in the living room, drinking a scotch at the end of the night and going over Fast and Furious. Now, sure, we have fans pick us up from the airport, which I reported to Sharon, and she clutched her pearls as well.
They bring us snacks. They bring us deviled eggs.
I try to explain. I don't really have fear of people. I have fear of bad people, but I don't assume people are bad. I assume most everyone's good, and then there's a handful of bad people, but I'm not going to run into them. And then also, I'm not that worried about it. But so she started going like, no, no. Then she did this comical question. Does Lynette know what you're doing? I said, I don't.
You she mean never allowed
it was her idea.
Or this weekend. Like, I'm going to go no and no. And she said, I don't care. It'll be me and a couple of dudes. We can handle ourselves, and why not? So then I started thinking about it as I was walking out of Sharon's office, and I thought, well, let's call Devin. Now, they're picking up the race car. The transport company's picking up the race car today, as you hear this, and we're packing it full as many tools and duct tape and stuff you might need, zip ties and things that Devin, the guy whose house I'm staying at, may use as well. And he says he's near the track. He owns a home, ex-military, and
this is your guy.
This is a Chris Devin, Kyle situation.
Yeah.
Yes, this is a crit. Yeah, we're going to go out shooting. Exactly. He's going to turn the gun on me.
Oh, God.
Devin.
Yes, sir.
Thanks for the generous offer of staying at your house.
No problem.
How much of the house is spare? You know what I mean? We're talking a 4-bedroom and it's just you. What's the makeup, the physical makeup?
It's a 2-story, 3-bedroom house, and it's just me and my wife, 2 dogs. And that's about it.
All
right. Uh-huh. And have we made arrangements as far as where your wife's going to stay?
Mm-hmm.
Well, over there, because we're going to be swearing and drinking and watching Fast and Furious all night.
Well, it's cool because she does all those things, too.
Oh, okay.
Right.
All right.
Winner.
Yeah.
Now,
maybe not so much the Fast and Furious, but...
How far are you...
Soon to be ex-wife.
How far are you physically from Road Atlanta?
Physically, as a bird flies, I'm probably a 1/4 mile through the woods. At the back, but you've got to drive around the track, so it probably takes about 10 minutes to get there.
Not bad.
Okay. What... Yeah.
You can walk through the woods.
Yeah, you can go D.B. Cooper style through the woods and get there in a few minutes.
Yeah.
Now, who did you originally reach out to as far as staying at the house?
I emailed Mike. I was sitting on the couch drinking scotch, watching Fast and the Furious, and
yeah,
I emailed Mike up, and he immediately replied. And I said, oh, shit, I wasn't expecting that. So,
well, you offered something for free, Matt. So.
Yeah, if it's free. Free, we're
in. Am I not getting paid for this?
The stories will be invaluable.
Yeah, in bragging rights.
Oh, yeah. No,
and the pictures you can take once they get drunk, they think of the blackmail value.
So we're going to...
immediately going on.
We're going to pull into Atlanta probably Thursday night, and first practice session is pretty early Friday. And I think we'll be able to make it to your house probably about 9 o'clock or so Thursday night, and then I guess we'll get up and head to the track in the morning. Now, are you planning on going to the track with us every time?
Yeah, that's fine with me. I was planning on going to the track regardless. I don't know how involved you wanted to hang out with me or anything, but, you know.
Well, we're going to be living together.
As little as possible.
How is the Midi? I've been there. I was there about 10 years ago. Is it getting pretty crowded?
Yeah, it is pretty crowded. I think it's not quite as big as Petit Le Mans, but it's a big showing. It's going to be a pretty busy place.
And I know you like to run.
And you're lucky.
Yeah.
I'm not saying you're lucky, but I'm pretty sure all the hotels around there are probably already booked.
Yeah.
Oh, there's no turning back now.
No turning back. We're in.
Oh, no, no.
So now what do you think the sleeping arrangements will be? Of course, me and your wife, and then are we going to have room for you and the other guys?
The dogs.
You got to ask before you go to sleep with my wife. It's fine, but just as long as you ask.
That's what I'm doing that now. DVD player?
You told me. I'm sorry?
You got a DVD player? What size is the TV in the living room?
It's a 55-inch.
Okay. All right.
That'll do.
That'll do. And that'll do, yeah. DVD player?
I have a PlayStation. We really don't.
Yeah. Same thing.
What is this, 2004 Pops?
Yeah, you don't need a DVD player. You got
we can
PlayStation.
Use it. We
got
to bring... Yeah, we got to bring Youngblood. We got to bring Fast and Furious.
Well, so
Red Dawn, Cliffhanger,
Cobra.
The PlayStation. Yeah, the PlayStation has capabilities to stream.
Yeah, it's a DVD player and a stream. Yeah, yeah. Streaming service.
Fast and the Furious 1-20.
All right, should we bring discs or not?
Yeah, bring discs. That's fine.
Okay. All right. It can be played.
Yep.
Okay, good to know.
Yeah, we'll be able
good to know.
Do you have camping equipment? Because I don't think everyone's going to fit in a bedroom.
I have some old military cots.
Perfect.
I have a tent,
Yeah, put them in the yard.
So,
I
think we'll be, I think we'll have about three dudes. And, then the next thing is, let's see. Now, we're packing up two cars so we can put a, case of, Endless Rant beer in there and a couple of bottles of scotch or whatever. We can pack up some t-shirts and some swag for you as well.
Yeah, bring some extra.
Thank you.
All right. And now the other thing that's weird, but I'm going to look into this too. When we were on the cruise and we docked at, I don't know where we docked at some point, but we docked on the last cruise.
Cozumel.
Probably Cozumel. Yeah. There you go.
Key West of Cozumel, yeah.
When me and Mike were walking back from Cozumel, we ran into a bachelorette party, and we ran into a bunch of chicks that were doing shots by the boat.
Oh, yeah. I remember that.
And they called us over, and we started doing shots with them. And the next thing you know, I ran into this chick, and I said, "What do you do?" And she's like, "I'm head of operations at Road Atlanta."
What are the chances?
And if you ever come out to Road Atlanta, we will buff you out.
Wow.
Which means somebody takes you in a golf cart from one place to the other place. Like, that's the ultimate. You get to go in a golf cart.
It'll buff you out.
So
if you're listening.
I'm now trying to run her down.
Yeah, well, just call. There's only so many directors of operations.
I'm ready to be buffed out. Well, to be fair... I had a little buzz on.
And she may have been bragging a bit. She could have been the assistant to the director of operations.
She had a little buzz on, but I think we're going to track her down as well. All right. So,
this is really coming together.
Yeah. Devin, we thank. Now, can you turn a wrench?
I can. I do all the work on my own motorcycles and truck and all that. So
okay.
I can turn a wrench.
We may need some help in the pits, and then you can also walk me through the best line through Road Atlanta too, because I've never driven there.
Okay,
all right.
Well, the car line is a little bit different than the motorcycle line. There's a couple different chicanes and a different corner on Turn 12 that's a little bit different, but it's not much of a change.
All right, I'll work it out.
Wow, Devin's like a guardian angel.
Yeah. So what you're an electrician apprentice now?
Yes, sir.
And 8 years in the Army.
Yes, sir.
And what'd you do in the Army?
I was an infantryman with the 82nd Airborne Division.
Mm-hmm. Oh, all right. Yeah, I had a... I'll talk... You know what? All right, so, Devin, we'll see you on Thursday night.
Yes, sir.
Looking forward to it.
All right. Thanks, Adam.
Thanks, bud.
I have a good feeling
Why
about
Devin. Why do people think I'm weird?
Well...
I
Bonus episode.
Yes, bonus episode. Max Spada, tell Gary to go find O'Neill, take a knee from yesterday. O'Neill's take a knee. Sean O'Neill?
Robert O'Neill.
Yeah. Take a knee and tell him to find the part 30-something minutes in when he was talking about automatic versus full automatic, because it was interesting what we were talking about. Who needs machine guns? Mm-hmm. I'll paraphrase. He'll find it. But I said, well, what about it? He said, I have been, or speaking of military, the guy who killed Bin Laden.
Right. He's been on the show before.
Yeah. SEAL team.
He said, I have been on over 400 missions. I have a gun that has a switch on it that'll go automatic, full automatic, or semi-automatic. He said, in over 400 missions, I've never had it on full automatic.
Wow.
Nobody has it on full automatic. You can't. He said, you can aim the first, but after that, you can't aim.
Yeah, but still. Yeah,
so not only, when people say that should just be for the military is not even using it.
Well, think about it. You have a very limited amount of space on your body that you can keep this stuff. Obviously, your worst case scenario is just, I have no more bullets and the bad guys are around us, right? Yep. You'd be a fool to just spray stuff into potted plants and whatnot. 400 plus serious combat missions. And had the option. It's not like I take this gun, I take that gun. Flip a switch. Wow. Never flipped it on. That's exactly what I was talking about, based on nothing but sort of common sense. So this whole thing is like, the machine guns, these guys are in there with these assault rifles and machine guns. It's like, first off, the AR-15, nobody in the military would ever use one of those because it's not military grade. Like, it's not a military weapon of war. They'd laugh you. They don't use those. Number one. Number two, it's all semi-automatic. And he said there's a couple of guys who have like the canister who are there to lay down suppressing fire, like literally just with the canister so they can let people move around. But he said everyone on the SEAL team, you're going into Bin Laden's compound, all semi-automatic.
Sure.
So I said, all right, then the kind of argument of do you have access to this or access to that? That's out the window.
Right.
It's about other things, and we should discuss those other things.
Sure.
But getting caught up on this is not that.
Right.
Yes.
You're not seeing the forest for the trees. I don't claim to know anything about these, so I love to be educated on this. I always assumed that an AR-15 or weapons of that nature were weapons of war or for military grade or whatever it was, and to hear they're not is kind of it's eye-opening, but it's like, well, then what are they for?
The AR-15.
Not just demonizing that one weapon, but weapons of that nature.
Here's
the one that gets the press.
Here's my take on it. My take is there's two groups who are going to be attracted to any one endeavor. They're the kind of purists who literally just want to go shoot, and then they're the guys. Same with the car world. There's the guys who go out and race their cars, and then the guys who just want to show people their cars. You know, like look how cool this is now. The bigger, the more powerful, the crazier, the bigger the slicks and the tires and the more horsepower, the cooler it is to show somebody, the scarier it is to drive, but the cooler it is to show some. So I think within any group of enthusiasts, whether it's music or, you know, there's the people that collect the guitar and then the people who collect and play the guitar or whatever. I think there's those two groups. The AR-15 is a cool-looking gun for a guy who wants to seem like a tough guy and look like a badass. It looks like a military-grade gun.
Indeed.
It's, I think, a .22 that's semi-automatic, which is a small-bore gun where each time you squeeze the trigger, it fires. But the way the stock is and the way the barrel is and the coloring and all that stuff, it looks tough guy.
Indeed.
So guys who have seen a lot of Scarface, go, look at this bad boy. So they like to pull it out and show their friends and go, look at this bad boy. And it looks like a bad boy.
It looks like a badass gun.
Right. According to anyone who's in a SEAL team, it's worthless to them. It's probably because it's not high enough caliber. That's what I'm assuming.
Yeah.
So you could take a deer gun. And again, I'm basing this on things I've heard and know, but I'm not a hunter. I'm not in the NRA, and I don't really know. My assumption is this: you could take a rifle, a .22 rifle with like a walnut stock on it and a picture of Bambi carved into it, and that could be a semi-automatic gun that fired 22 rounds as fast as you could squeeze the trigger, or you could have this black thing that looks like a crazy assault raid on Entebbe thing, and they're both essentially the same thing. One looks like a weapon of war, and the other looks like your grandfather gave it to you. I think that's it. And so what people are viscerally reacting to is the way this thing looks.
Right.
It's the same reason dumb guys are attracted to it. They go, I like it. Looks badass. Like the same guy with the big lift kit on his truck and everything, where you go, what's he need that for? And it's like,
he doesn't.
He likes the way it makes him feel or other people look at him. And it's the same with the machine gun. Who needs a machine gun? That the train guys don't want a machine gun. Right. No one on SEAL Team 6 wants a machine gun. It's all semi-automatic.
It's really
interesting. We react like, yeah, this is a weapon of war. These guys going there full automatic machine gun, spraying bullets everywhere. Well, how long can you think about these things where it's like, oh, it'll fire, you know, 350 rounds a minute or something. Well, how long can you hold the trigger down before your 20 are gone?
Pretty quick, yeah. I imagine.
Right. All right, we'll find out. Gary, you can look into that guy, or we have it.
Yeah, we're pulling the clip right now. We'll have it in seconds.
Yeah.
All right, we got it.
When is this going to air, by the way?
Saturday.
Oh, Saturday. Okay, you can check out the ticketing. Well, I'll give you a second. Let me just hit the black.
Oh, actually, yeah, Monday, not Saturday.
Monday. Yeah. There you go. The Black Tux, man. Wedding, special event coming up. TheBlackTux.com. High-quality rental suits and tuxedos delivered to your door. I wore mine to the Oscars. Very cool. I like the navy blue with the black trim on.
Very sharp.
It mixes it up a little bit. I like that. It comes with all the accoutrements as well. The tie and the cummerbund and the cufflinks and everything else. Create your own look. Choose from tons of styles. Select an outfit, do it all online. Usually retail for about $1,200, but the Black Tux starts at just $95. Free. Try on. You can try it at home and try it on for free. See, feel the fit, figure out the quality. They sent me a one. It was a little short in the sleeves. I have long arms. I sent it back. They gave me a jacket that fit. Boom. Bob's your uncle.
Boom.
And they'll let you try it on months before the event arrives. 14 days before the event, your Black Tux will. If it's anything less than perfect, you send it back for free replacement right away. Then just drop it back in the mail. That's what we did. We just drop it back in the mail, put it back in the box. Free shipping both ways. How about it, Dawson?
For $20 off your purchase, visit theblacktux.com/Adam. That's theblacktux.com/Adam for $20 off your purchase. The Black Tux, premium rental suits and tuxedos delivered.
All right. Do we have O'Neill over here? You tell me, what is your weapon you're holding when you go into Bin Laden's compound, and do you have it on automatic, full automatic? How does that work for your team?
I've been over 400 combat missions, and I've never once in combat fired full automatic. And semi-automatic, obviously, you know, one trigger pull, one bullet, and I was a big believer in, hitting what you aim at, and there's no reason to fire full auto. And by the way, the AR-15 is not a fully automatic machine gun. It's a semi-automatic rifle. I know you can argue either side of that, but a machine gun is usually a belt fed or a drum fed. You pull the trigger and it goes off every time. And you know, again, too, I want to be realistic. Like the shooter in Vegas used what's called a bump stock.
Right.
It fires like it's full automatic, but it's technically semi-automatic. I would be on the side of saying, look, we don't need those. There's no reason for a bump stock. If you need a fully auto, go to a gun range where there's licensed people that can be with you if you need the thing. So, you know, we have people on both sides that argue, well, the bump stock is just a piece of plastic. It's still semi, just firing faster. It's like, look, they're not good. We don't need them. But an AR-15 is not a machine gun. It's not a weapon of war. The AR-15, I never saw one in the military because they're not issued to the military.
Wow.
All right.
Very enlightening.
Well, Wes, you know.
Let's hear it the other side.
Hold on, Rachel Maddow, coach him up.
I just don't like it.
I grew up with this. Who needs a car that costs $15,000? Okay,
she's still saying that
any faster than that.
And why? And you, by the way, you need two cars? Like, who needs it? We can't drive them both at once. I know. It's like, hold on. And those big, tall black guys, they just stand under the rim.
Oh, my grandma
did that. And they just throw it to them, and they just drop it into the rim.
They run up and down in their underwear.
They just run, and they just they're so tall that they just give them the ball, and they just drop it in. Like, yes.
Wow.
I mean, no. I love a world where you just have these fully formed, utterly retarded thoughts, and I get to shoot them out full automatic. Like, just
speaking of which,
it's actually semi-automatic. People can argue it, but it's actually semi-automatic.
Yeah, all right. Well, there he goes. He's never seen one in the military.
Very interesting.
So I was like, these are weapons of war, except for they don't issue them to the people who are in the war, at least not our folks. They have a choice. They have more efficient killing devices than that would probably feel outgunned. Are those 22s? But I do like the idea of, like, look, 400 combat missions. And I guess you could argue that, you know, if you're going into a compound or you're getting lowered in off a Huey into Fallujah or something, you're going to want whatever's best in your favor in terms of odds, like of killing and not getting killed. That should be 400. And he's never put it on
automatic.
Full automatic and had the option to. So, again, school shooting's bad. But this argument over automatic or full automatic or whatever, weird, not helpful. But the bump stocks, get rid of them.
Yeah.
Fine. Don't need those either. All right. Let's see. So speaking of death and destruction.
Oh, boy. Keep the party train rolling.
I had a weird thing happen yesterday. I was walking around, head on a swivel. You know, basically going full Gran Torino on the neighborhood. You know what I mean? Like the old racist who just walks around looking for troublemakers.
Get off my lawn.
Saw somebody.
Get off my dirt.
Saw somebody collecting our toilets back here.
Ooh.
I don't know what's up with that.
A toilet godmother?
They cleaned up the toilets, and they cleaned up some of the furniture.
Fan of the show.
But left a lot of the garbage behind, so I was sort of curiously looking at it. And
Installation artist?
Hard to tell. And then at some point, I got a call from Mike August. That was this morning. I noticed that yesterday. And he said, hey, man, did you hear about what happened on your street over there? I said, what is that? He said, found three bodies in a car.
Like behind your warehouse.
Pretty much across the street from the warehouse.
Right. And I thought, I wonder if the guy who...
Damn.
Whether there's any connection between the guy taking the toilets and the guy leaving the bodies. Like maybe it's a deposit on the toilets.
No evidence.
I found it to be weird. I also, I didn't know the fellas that were in the SUV that was deceased. So I sort of looked at it as a push, which is, well, I lost a toilet, but I gained a corpse. You know what I mean? It's a lateral.
Once you lose all your employees.
Like as a property owner, you look at it as a lateral move.
Easy come, easy go.
Now, I know everyone always gets scared, but everyone relax. This is where they dump the bodies, okay? You should be worried about where they take the bodies. You know what I mean? Where they take the lives. Yeah.
Where they were at.
Don't live where they take the lives.
No, that's bad news.
Son, you want to live where they dump the bodies. You hear? You feel me?
That's this generation's wrong side of the tracks, right side of the tracks.
That's right.
I live where they dump the bodies, okay?
Yes. I told... now, I think we talked to some guys about cops and patrolling, and how about you get the guys who dump the toilets and the bodies, and they're like, we don't really have enough cars. Then Max Pata reminded me of the time he got the chicken shit ticket for the four-way stop a block away from where they do dump the bodies and the toilets. They seem to have time to camp out at the four-way stop sign.
That's well patrolled.
I've seen dozens of tickets at that four-way stop.
Right. But not so much, they can't do so much about the toilets or the bodies.
They're very busy.
I mean, he followed me into this parking lot. I should have just led him to the toilets.
I should have just backed out.
As long as you're here.
What was the story on those bodies, and what is the news story? I mean,
I have it. I can give you a little bit of an update. And
tell
Chris,
me.
Please help me fill in the blanks. But from what they know now, they're seeing if it matches the description of these three dudes that disappeared in Bakersfield. And
now, for people,
about two
people should
away.
Know this is, when I say two blocks away from where we're sitting, I mean literally two blocks, small block, neighborhood blocks, not city blocks. And then as far as the other warehouse where all the car hijinks go on, it is half a block or next door to.
And so close, in fact, that's one of your employees was having a discussion about this with the police. Did you know this? Because you have surveillance footage that could help them.
He was on the clock.
I know. So I always have mixed feelings about that. Like bringing a criminal to justice. On the other hand, he's on the clock. You know what I mean?
Nonsense.
Yeah. He wanted to know if my security cameras could have picked it up.
You have to do this now. It says in the background.
We'll throw the map up when you see it. At AdamCarolla.com, but you can see they're just a half a block away. The three guys missing in Bakersfield.
Yeah, Chris, they said they're being pretty tight-lipped on trying to confirm that. Yeah. So I don't know if you have any new news.
All they know, the car had Tennessee license plates, which match the description of the people on missing flyers who are missing in Bakersfield. And it's two guys and a girl, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
And body, but they have not officially identified any bodies.
Yeah. And evidently, I have external video cameras that got some of the cars, yep, like driving down the street and all that kind of stuff. Now, look, when the Burbank Popo comes to me and goes, hey, man, we'd like to look at your videotape. Should I go, that's interesting, because I'd like to stop getting chicken shit tickets from you pussies. So
I'm a jaywalking ticket from 97.
Maybe we could cut a deal here or something, because it's interesting that you want something from me, because what I'd like you to do is stop riding chicken shit fucking tickets like pussies.
Wasn't that Armageddon where like one of the guys for his payment going up to space and blowing up the asteroid?
Yes.
Like, I don't want to pay taxes ever again.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, so give him like 5 seconds of footage per toilet removed. Yeah.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah. Yeah, cut a deal.
Well, like I said, they took the toilet, so now evidently they took them out, like right at the same time, so we should find the guys who have those toilets and see what they know.
Trying to soften you up.
Yeah. All right. We got a Starbucks.
Oh, God.
Barista here or something. Johnny, 49, Nashville.
How you doing, Adam?
Good. What's going
Gina
on?
Bald.
Hey.
Wait a minute. This car had Nashville plates on it.
Uh-oh.
Or Tennessee plates.
Uh-oh. Play a John Hyatt song.
Mm-hmm.
There you go.
Sweetie to know that.
Yeah.
Johnny,
I like that
go
song.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead. Sorry, Johnny.
We're saying you're a person of interest. Go ahead.
I was... me and my girlfriend went to a Starbucks after working out, and this kid was sitting in the corner, spitting in his hand, wiping it off on his pant leg. And my girlfriend has a kid, and she said, hey, stop that. Go outside and spit, or go get a cup or something. And I didn't hear the whole conversation, but I heard most of it, and I'm getting us coffees. And next thing I know, I go down and sit, and I hear the barista talking to the manager, basically bad-mouthing my girlfriend. I walked up, and I said, No, that's not how it happened. And I started to tell him what happened, and the barista goes, fuck you, you can get the fuck out of here. And I looked at him for a second. Now, mind you, I am a minority, I am Jewish, and I am Hispanic, so I don't want you all to think that, you know.
Strike two.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. You know, white privilege not here.
You're Hispanic.
Anyway, mm-hmm. Yeah, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
And three, I had my Police Academy shirt on, might be not the best thing. But anyway... And he told me to go fuck myself, pretty much. And I said, no, I'm going to go over there, sit down there with my girlfriend, and drink these fucking coffees. You got a problem with that? And I went down, and I sat there. I saw the manager go get the guy. And mind you, not the guy had dreads. I'm not going to say what color he was.
Mm-hmm.
You can figure that out for yourself.
Sure.
Walked in the back. Manager didn't come out. Didn't apologize. Nothing. And just from your show yesterday, I was so pissed off when I heard they're doing racial sensitivity training. Where's my racial sensitivity training? Where's somebody going to come apologize to me for this stupid shit? Doesn't happen. I just couldn't believe it, and I thought, you know,
well,
like Adam says, it didn't move my needle. It's not something I'm going to call and say, hey, Starbucks, your guy here. I don't need to do that.
But an employee on the clock told you to go fuck yourself. That's really egregious.
I have
flood. This was 8 o'clock at Bellevue, Tennessee Starbucks. It was ridiculous.
Yeah.
And I was kind of taken back.
Never
my
going
girlfriend
there
goes,
again.
Yeah.
She goes, did he really tell you to go fuck? I said, yeah. And she said, you stood up for me? I was like, yeah. I said, oh. She was like, oh, she was impressed. So I was a win-win for me.
Yeah, it's pretty hot.
Well, tell me what you guys think about this theory. There used to be a home for young people with horrible attitudes, and that was the video rental store. That's where the guy with the tattoos, for shit attitude, would always work there. And they don't have that anymore. Yeah. So we need to, A, find a new home for the guy with the aggressive nose piercing, who's got some tood. But there's nothing like, there's a great cross-section, which is, I'm dripping with attitude, and I make $9 an hour. Like, that's a weird... It's one thing if you're a graphic artist and you're world-renowned and you're sought after and you have a lot of attitude, you know? But it's weird to have a lot of affect and a lot of attitude and nose jewelry and tats and stuff, but still... Your job's really like, hey, buddy, I said light foam, and this is like medium foam, so make me a new one.
Fuck
and
you.
And you're covered with, you're dripping with attitude, but that's, you put yourself in a position. Yeah. Like those guys, again, if you're a graphic artist or you just train lions or something, then you could just be on your own, you know? So Starbucks is a weird place where you take young people who have sort of shitty attitudes and you go, dance, bitch. And it's like, they're not very good at it because they're 26 and they grew up with a steady diet of, you're not the boss of me, except for the boss of them walks into that store with $5 100 times a day and tells them what to do. So we're already kind of off to a weird marriage here. And if you go back to the 50s, there'd just be some guy who looked like Ron Howard when he was 17, like wearing a bow tie, who was a soda jerk. And he's like, what can I do you for? A knee high? A grape knee high? Oh, top of the morning, looking fine, you know, like that. Well, now there's a whole group of people who don't take orders from anybody except for their job is to take orders.
Literally.
From everybody. Literally. So there's already going to be a little bit of a little bit of friction there. Number two, I couldn't imagine having any kind of business in the new world order we're living in, where people that don't pay taxes and who like to urinate in Gatorade bottles and then set them up on top of cinder block fences have become the new ruler of the land, like the new heroes. These guys are like the new heroes. And so now you have a business, and depending on where your Starbucks is, but you have a business where homeless people are no longer taken care of by the city, and they're no longer vagrants or trespassers or any. They're heroes. They're essentially heroes, and they're dripping with attitude and momentum themselves, and they can just walk into your business, and they can pour themselves a cup of cream and sit and drink it and demand to use the bathroom or whatever it is. This is bad if you own a business like this. Like, you want your business now to be, like, upstairs and windowless, because any place...
Welcoming.
Well, if you had a Starbucks-type place in Seattle, Portland, Los Angeles, 10, 20 years ago, well, fine. We didn't have to have a whole bunch of policies in place because there wasn't a whole bunch of people abusing our store. We didn't, these policies, the problem with the policy is the policy starts off as no policy, which is you come in and
come out.
And then all of a sudden homeless guys start sleeping in your bathroom. So now you put a policy down, and the policy is, okay, then you have to buy something. And then we sort of go, well, why is the store evil? The store is always evil in their application of a policy that we didn't really need in the first place, but we had to have because of this homeless problem or because of whatever we're dealing with. It struck me, could you imagine having a business now where you literally can't, if a homeless guy is sleeping in front of your door and you get him up to move, you are the bad guy. You who pay taxes and pay for these employees.
Right. You're evil.
Yeah, and
look.
Who
would want that?
These people are being emboldened and empowered, and it's just going to keep spinning out of control. And then it always leads to stupid laws, which is eventually it swings back the other way. And at some point, you're standing on the street and a cop tells you, hey, there's no vagrancy and there's no loitering. And you go, I'm waiting for my girlfriend to pick me up. And he goes, you got to start walking. Otherwise, you can't. Yep. And you're nicely dressed.
Like Vegas.
And you don't have a pup tent. And they just... It just swings hard the other way.
Oh, man, I cannot wait to tell you about this story I found for the news about what's going on in San Francisco. Oh, my God.
My breath is...
Something very reasonable and expected.
I think there are some heroes up there.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Let's see. So we had... Garcetti gave his State of the Union, and he was talking about the homelessness emergency. We're having an emergency with homeless people. He's basically saying we need to spread them around. But what do we have from 2015, Max Spada?
All right, here's an interview he did in 2015 where he declared a state of emergency and said the policies are not working for homelessness.
All right. This is 3 years ago or more. I don't know, or less. Oh, no,
well, state of emergency for homelessness is two things. One, it's saying that there's 25,000 1,000 people that will sleep on the streets of this city or without a home tonight. If that's not a state of emergency, I don't know what is. But secondly, it's also about the sense of urgency behind that. A legal pronouncement so that we can get certain funds a little bit early, but also looking at the way that we can make sure that people have a sense of policy urgency to this, because the old way of doing things isn't working, and we need to have more funds, more focus, more collaboration.
All right. Well, that was 3 years ago.
The funds part I get, but there's no plan. There's no...
Yeah, the focus
well,
and
wait,
collaboration.
Well, wait, give him a few months to implement
right,
the plan.
Should have jumped down his throat.
That was 2015. Okay. Now let's listen to 3 years later and see how he's implemented those plans.
But his big push, as you said, is to deal with homelessness in the city. The budget includes $430 million for that, and he wants emergency shelters to be built right away. He wants
right
to build
away.
Those shelters in every district across the city. He says no longer will they all be near the downtown area. He wants it every district in the city to take responsibility for the homeless issue. And he's also telling Sacramento to send money. He says the state has now a $6 billion budget surplus and wants some of that to come to Los Angeles.
Homeless Angelenos can't wait years to get off our streets.
Well, they have.
We need more options for bringing them inside now. This week, thanks to the City Council, we will put in place an emergency shelter crisis declaration so we can build shelters across
this dick
LA
never,
as quickly
I hope
as
he
possible.
Never paints my house. Because it'd be like, it's been in primer for 4 years now. Yeah, we're
I
moving.
I requested more funds. Emergency, though.
Here, listen to this one, too.
Oh, this is good.
Yesterday in the State of the City address, I laid out plans and our next step to end homelessness in Los Angeles, an effort that we are calling A Bridge Home. And today, the city is moving forward with three new policies.
A bridge you can sleep under.
That will transform the way that we build emergency shelter.
The first step, do nothing, was a rousing success.
The pace of bringing people out of tents and back home. There's no question that L.A. is leaving no stone unturned. We get questions all the time. What about permanent housing? Does that mean we're slowing that up? No way.
No. It's not a mission.
Permanent housing, what about shelter? We're accelerating that. Well, if you're doing that, you need outreach teams. Absolutely. And we are hiring those up as we speak, the county, LASA, our service providers. You better believe that when there's a crisis, we get creative. I told one press outlet today, it's kind of like...
I'm going to Iowa and looking at gravestones.
At the same time, street outreach, shelters, and permanent housing. Options for our brothers and sisters on the street.
Yeah, we love him dearly.
He's like even-tempered football coach. Like he says a lot of things like you better believe and no way, but he says it like a you better believe.
Like Mr.
No
Rogers.
Like, yeah, if Mr. Rogers was a football coach.
Right. Oh, no, a football coach should be 0-51 over the last three seasons. And by the way, football coaches get shit-canned when they perform the way he performs.
He gathers the team around for a halftime speech. They're down for their 17th game in a row. Now listen. I know it's been a tough road so far.
Well, don't worry. He's going to be president.
Stick with the game plan.
He's going to take this kind of policy. He's going to take it nationwide.
It's a game
of
inches.
And that's maybe this is the dumb part of me, like just the zombie dummy. But like, he seems like a nice guy. I want to like him.
Like a pleasant neighbor.
I believe he is a nice guy, but he's completely worthless and not effective. And that's the whole thing. I don't care what the guy's bedside manner's like. I want results. Listen to me. I just thought of something. Reminded me of cars and an analogy. Okay? I'll tell you in a second. Elgin Baylor's here, so I'm going to talk to him in a second. But first, stamps.com. These days, you can get everything you want on demand. Like, you can get our show on demand, if you like. Get postage on demand with stamps.com. Bind, print, official U.S. postage, any letter, any package with your computer and printer. Then... mail give it to the mail carrier. He'll pick it up, or she'll pick it up, or God knows who will pick it up these days. We can't judge. You just click and print the mail, and when you're done, boom, hand it right to him. So get your parcel, weigh it, figure out exactly what the postage is, comes out of your computer and your printer, and you hand it right off to your postal carrier. Again, we use it here, and right now you can enjoy stamps.com. 4-week trial. Plus $55 in free postage and a digital scale. Just go to stamps.com before you do anything else. Click the microphone, top of the homepage, type in Adam. That is stamps.com. Enter Adam. So Garcetti seemed pretty resolute about his plans that they were kicking in, right?
Sure did. Like
he had these plans that were kicking in. We heard him from 2015. Now it's 2018.
Ready for the next phase.
And they don't sit back. I mean, I like when they have just a dusting of bravado and confidence. Like, hey, this is L.A., baby. We don't sit back and wait for stuff to happen to us. We make problems tenfold worse. Like, it's weird because
he's part of the gasoline.
He has his zero success in this department, and he's up there brimming like, I'm excited about all these plans I'm spearheading. But all right, so he's done nothing, will do nothing, and has done nothing, and will continue, and mathematically can't do nothing. He has to do nothing because he's spending other people's money and he doesn't care, and there's no homeless where he lives. So that's fine. Let me give you an example of what can get done when you need it to get done, like versus this pile of nothingness named Garcetti. When Ford wanted to beat Ferrari, Ford had all the money in the world, and he didn't have any time, and he tried to do it on his own, and he wasn't really getting it done, and he said, find me Carroll Shelby. Carroll Shelby won as a driver at Le Mans, and he won as a team owner at Le Mans in a different class, but he won. And he said, that guy's a winner. And he said, that guy's got a band of like 8 or 10 engineers, and I'm going to turn the entire project over to this guy. And he's like, Sebring's coming up in 3 months and Daytona's in 4 months, and you better be ready. And then Carroll Shelby, who, unlike Garcetti, actually knows how to get two things. A, he knows how to get things done. B, if he doesn't get things done, he gets shit canned.
Right. Yeah.
He has a list
of accomplishments.
He has things he's done in the past. He will be promptly shit canned if he doesn't get this thing done, and he's on the clock. And the next thing you know, Ford wins Le Mans 4 years in a row because Shelby and his guys got to work. And that was in like a 14-month period or 6-month period, like boom, like that. So that's what happens when you give it to can-do guys. And you tell them to get it done. If you give it to can-don't guys with unlimited... with an unlimited budget, then you get this.
Yeah.
And all I'm saying is I want more Shelby and less Garcetti. And I hope Garcetti goes somewhere and runs for something.
Or just runs in the right direction.
Just points himself toward Nevada and runs. All right. Let's see. Elgin Baylor is out there. He is...
So the all-time greats. He made the 50th anniversary team. Like 50 greatest NBA players in the 50th anniversary.
11-time NBA All-Star. Let's see. Played for 14 seasons.
That's a Hall of Famer.
Hall of Famer. Played for the Bucks and Jazz. No, he played for the Lakers when they were in Milwaukee. Mm. And then became a New Orleans Jazz. New Orleans Jazz was a very good example of the right name for the right team where they're at. And then when they moved to Utah
it'd been incongruous.
I just couldn't find a state that was that less. Said jazz less than Utah, jazz right? Scene.
The Lakers might be misnamed as well.
The Sonics, Seattle Supersonics, right. Home of Boeing, I guess, moved to Oklahoma City.
Thunder.
And they gave themselves Thunder. Mm-hmm. That's smart.
Yeah.
Supersonics in Oklahoma City, but nothing is worse as New Orleans. The Jazz in Utah.
Yeah, there's no Jazz in Utah. Let's
put that out. All right. We'll bring Elgin in a second. First, I'll tell you about Castrol Edge tech advances. It made engines smaller. That's right. I got a smaller engine in my car. I'm bringing to Road Atlanta. Put that Castrol Edge right in that crankcase. And it's fully synthetic. They've got together with the Electronic Arts to present the adrenaline-filled driving challenge called Titanium Gamer, inspired by the Need for Speed video games. And it's a very interesting video. If you like cars, you like driving, or you just like videos, check it out. Go to Castrol USA YouTube page and check that out. Us, Santa Ana Esports Arena. Sorry about that. Coming up, that'll be tomorrow. Yeah, tomorrow night. That's right. Heather Dubrow, Guy Dubrow's sister's going to be up.
Maybe Guy will stop by.
It'd be cool if her brother Guy swung by. Oh, man. Guy Dubrow's a great guy. So that'll be tomorrow night. Come on out for that, 8 o'clock, I should say. And we'll take a quick break. We'll come back with NBA great Elgin Baylor right after this.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
Good sport. It's time for a sports segment. Good sport. It's time for Ace and Dave. Good sport. It's time to get it started.
NFL highlights.
Mixed martial arts fights. Riffing on Bat Stallone movies. Raking the fruits of the year. Dave's recapping hockey.
Podcast One Sports Network presents Good Sports.
Hi and hello, sports fans. Welcome to this episode of Good Sports, presented by Podcast One Sports. Dave Damashek here, Adam Carolla over there. Make sure you download, subscribe, all that jazz, the Dave Damashek football program on iTunes. The draft is just about here, NFL style. The playoffs are underway in a couple other sports. We're kibitzing about all of it, but we kibitz about sports and the game of life here on Good Sports. I encourage you, nay demand, to go back and listen to yesterday's. Adam Carolla hands out some powerful advice for anyone about to get married, and none too soon, because Dylan and Gary are both in the throes of love and marriage as we speak here, which brings me real quick, Ace, if you don't mind. Can I give out a little creep of the week here?
Oh, yeah, please.
Okay, here we go. Think globally, act locally. Creep, creep, creeps of the week, of the week. He or he is the creep of the weeks. Boop, boop, boop. Gary and Dylan getting married. Good times. Ace going to make a big toast. Sure, Bald Brian will be delightful as always. Gina Grad will dance and deal with gentlemen suitors and reject them in all likelihood. And who knows what else? I certainly don't know what else, because my invite got lost in the mail times too.
What gift? Wow.
No invites, eh, guys? No
Thanks
invites.
Too.
Thanks, Dylan. Thanks, Gary. Any explanation, Gary?
What
Happy
wrong?
Wedding. Turn off your mic. You're the creeps of the week. Take it. All right, let's move on from that ugliness. Ace, how are you?
I'm good.
Yeah?
How are you doing?
Fought well. Wounded emotionally. But,
because of the wedding invites.
Now they're wounded physically from the blaster. The Penguins and Flyers are playing on April 20th tonight, and the Jets and the Wild are playing. The worst name in all of sports, the Wild. The Predators and the Avalanche, the Ducks and the Sharks. Ace, let's round out this week of Good Sports with a win, play, show.
Mm-hmm.
I have a couple of them.
Mm-hmm.
As a matter of fact, we're going to wait, I think, for the Jaguars to unveil their new look uniforms. Did you see the Titans, by the way, in the meantime? The Titans have new unis.
I've not seen the new look Titans.
All right. Let's push that to next week, so that once we see the Jags and then we can evaluate 1 through 32, we can do the best 3 or 4 and the worst 3 or 4. The Titans, in my book, they have navy helmets now.
Mm-hmm. Navy's a strong color. On a race car, I think in terms of race cars.
Huh.
Navy makes Navy's a good color on a race car.
Yeah, well, they went with the flat finish, which is a bold
stroke. Not a fan.
You don't like that, huh?
I don't. Here's why.
You had a navy. Do you still have that BMW? Was that what it was?
Yeah, it was a midnight blue.
But, I mean, it was so dark at first glance, it looks black, and then you get up close to it, and it was a really cool dark blue.
During the day, it looks dark blue, and during the night, it looks black. The flat helmets. My problem with the flat helmets are, it's the term, I bought a shiny new Cadillac. Shiny. It's right in there. I don't like it when they do it to cars. I don't like it when they do it to helmets. One of my greatest memories, and it was probably a videotape technology thing, but back in the day, I loved watching the Minnesota Vikings play in like the 80s on Monday Night Football. And he'd show them walk around, and there was a ghost that actually traveled by the Viking horn on their helmet. Like when they'd see them walking by, I think it's because they were using 1-inch videotape or something. They didn't have quite the technology, but the helmet was like so shiny that it just reflected. And I loved it. I loved the look of a shiny helmet. The flat thing, here's what I try to avoid. I try to avoid time stamps in architecture, in fashion, and in everything. And if you...
This is a great point. It's why if you are the Anaheim Ducks, you decided to seize on a popular movie at the time. Same thing with the Toronto Raptors. This was at the height of Jurassic Park, so they went Raptors, and in hindsight, it's like a little specific, right? Mm-hmm. You kind of tied yourself to early 90s little bit too much.
Yeah, so in architecture, automotive design, football uniforms... When you see flat helmets 50 years from now, you'll narrow it down to a 3-year window. You'll know exactly when that happened, as opposed to if you ever see Michigan college football, you'll have no idea what year that was from or whatever. It always looks the same, which is thus, you know, if you look up the definition of uniform, that's kind of
I'll tell you another one. Go back at episodes of Cheers and the Larry Sanders Show, two of my all-time favorite sitcoms, are so dated that you have to overcome Sam Malone's ridiculous 1989 sweater. It's like a Cosby sweater.
Right.
You have to vault past that to enjoy the script. Really, I mean, it's like I can stare at this and overcome the awful fashion choices at the time. You know that you see this in many movies and TV shows.
And you see it most in haircuts. Everybody gets their hair cut as to whatever the fashion suggests.
Are you going to be one of these guys who tries to, apparently you just answered that, you're not going to be one of these guys who tries to stay fashionable for today's fashions the older you get? I think that's a weird choice. But then if you're also the old man who is still wearing the same fashion as what was hip when he was 28, that's also a weird thing. You know what I mean?
Yes. I've decided that I have... turn the page on that chapter in my life, and I'm no longer trying to be desirable or attractive to any other members of the community of this planet.
Can I tell you something? I am with you 100%, and I think that is a liberating decision.
It's very liberating, and all I am is not get fat mode. I basically, the only mode I'm in is how can I enjoy myself, meaning have myself a... IPA, an Endless Rant IPA or two on a Saturday over at the shop and listen to a little jazz and enjoy some of my cars. How can I enjoy that and not get fat? Mm-hmm. That's it.
Trying to please other people or to try to put something on literally or otherwise because it will appeal to other people. Yes, I think if you can reach that place in life, that's a great one. I think you and I...
Now, I am dressing... For moderate success.
Right.
I've modified
it. I do think that is a key to life that has eluded the both of us over our respective years on the Big Blue Marble. Is not feeling some weird urge to, I don't know. But you've never struck me as somebody who tries to impress. Although I guess you do. On some level. Yeah.
Well, here's
self-satisfied. Although I guess I would call you self-satisfied. You know you're...
Here is the thing that I've figured out. If you can go online and buy it and have it delivered to your house, then you're not going to – that's no grounds for impressing anybody. That's simply having enough money to afford that sweater or that leather jacket or that wristwatch or whatever you're wearing. Mm-hmm. It's literally – even I feel the same way with cars. Like I do walk around sometimes the other day and I think to myself, I love cars. I'm a rich guy. I love Porsches. How come I don't drive a Porsche? And I realize because I go to the Home Depot all the time and have to throw junk in the back seat and stuff, things of that. I took the dog out of the car. I started thinking if I left my dog in the car.
The point is, tragic ending to good sports this week.
The point is like Maria Menounos drives a Porsche Targa and it looks awesome. She looks awesome in it. Why don't I drive a Porsche Targa? Because I don't care. But I can afford it. All that means is you can afford it. That's something. For me, going out and doing something like racing a car, that has much more gravitas to it.
All right. Well, listen, it's interesting, but now we didn't get to the win play shows, but I think we'll kick those to next week at this point. You know, I had some good ones too. War based one, as a matter of fact. I think you'll enjoy that one. It. Hey, all right. Listen, happy weddings to Gary and to Dylan. Best wishes to you both, and best wishes to all of you rooting for your favorite teams as the playoffs are going on here in hockey and the NBA and so on and so forth. We'll kibitz about sports and the game of life next week. But for now, for Adam Carolla, Dave Damashek, Good Sports Podcast, One Sports, out!
Good
sports!
Good news! For the first time ever, the Adam Carolla Show is in virtual reality. Live, Saturday, April 21st. Heather Dubrow is going to be joining us. Just a one-time $4.99 subscription, and you can see it on your phone or your computer in virtual 360 reality. You don't need glasses, only a web-enabled device. Experience a live show from the comfort of your own internet. It's not going to air as a regular show, so you can only see it in person Saturday, April 21st, or buy the VR download and watch on your favorite device. Get it at podcastone.com/CarollaVR. Podcastone.com/CarollaVR.